Here's the story of
Jack Mangan.
Who was busy with
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
The way they became the
Deadpan. Hey Deadpan Bunch, this is Jack Mangan, a.k.a. I never think of this anymore. A.k.a. Sam the Butcher. Yeah, actually, it's kind of works. Actually, a.k.a. Sam the Butcher bringing Alice the meat, right? All right. This is actually, an interview episode, so there's not going to be a whole diversity of content. But you'll definitely want to stick it out through the interview conversation. It was a fun conversation with someone who's actually a friend of the Deadpan. But in the meantime, let's cover the three important orders of business around Deadpan for upcoming stuff. 60 lines. I actually have almost all of your lines. There are one or two people remaining who still need to get me the recordings, but we're most of the way through, so you should hear that in the next Deadpan, hopefully. That's order one. Order two. I would say that we can call the Olympic anthem game officially closed. If you still owe an anthem and you'd like to sing it and record it, then that's fine. And actually, I do have a couple queued up that you'll hear in the next Deadpan episode. But beyond that, I'd say that that's done. And that's done just in time for the NHL playoffs that are coming up. The game we're doing for that, each of those teams will be assigned, each of the 16 playoff teams will be assigned a song. You can choose a team or two to root for. I've actually chosen the Phoenix Coyotes and New Jersey Devils. And going through the playoffs, if your team is eliminated, then you need to sing the song assigned to the victorious team, to the one that eliminated your team. So there will be a SurveyMonkey site where you can go and vote for the songs. You don't actually even have to be a sports fan or even watch any sports. You'll just, you know, pay attention to Deadpan and you'll be made aware of how your teams are doing and all that. I encourage you to play along because the last game was a lot of fun, and this will actually have a more dynamic range rather than singing Slovakian anthems and weird things. We'll be singing 30 second to 60 second bites of songs chosen by us. And also, you know, your team will only lose once, so you'll only have to sing once. And the final thing just to note is that there's yet another major crossroads event here on day number 634 of my alienation. So that's coming up tomorrow. Here's hoping I will have some news, and here's hoping that it will go well. So that said, let's do a short promo or short something. There'll be some noise after this outro babble finishes, and we'll get right into the exciting podcast novelist interview.
Deadpan.
So this is not Paul from Des Moines that we're talking to.
Formerly known as Paul from Des Moines.
Right. Well, and actually, you know, that's still an accurate title. That's still accurate because you're still Paul and you're still from Des Moines.
Well, but not technically. I'm originally from the Chicagoland area. I moved out to Des Moines to go to college, and then I moved back.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we can, you know, depends on what your definition of from is. But yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well, you know, I met you as a Des Moines resident. So
you did.
To me, you're Paul from Des Moines. Although, you know, now you have your official, you've evolved. You've evolved.
Paul from Des Moines 2.0.
Right. Now you're PC Herring.
I'm going as PC Herring these days. Yes, I am.
That's right. And so now, of course, we are talking to you today, not just because you've changed your, you know, how you represent yourself in the podcast world and online, but because since the Paul from Des Moines days, you've released, or as of this recording, you're in the process of releasing your first novel, which is Cybrosis, and you're doing that as a part of the book.
Cybrosis is a full cast cyberpunk action story set in the near future. Actually, I could see some similarities between Cybrosis and Spherical Tomy, of all things, in just kind of the way some of this stuff plays out. But no, it's a full cast. It's a full cast audio. The first episode went live on January 1st of 2010. And I've been releasing weekly episodes on Fridays through the end of the run, which should be coming up here in probably another 5 or 6 weeks, depending on, well, at least as we record this.
Right. So early May 2010.
If all goes well, it should be wrapped in time for Balticon.
Okay.
So yeah.
Very cool. Let's talk about how my lawyers need to talk to you about
this. Oh, gee, yeah, here we go. Here we go.
No, actually, and just as full disclosure, I two things about this is one, I swear I'm saying to you this right now, it's on record, it's in the recording. I am going to listen to Cybrosis.
Okay.
When I do tend to wait until they're done because it drives me nuts to like get to that cliffhanger and then wait for a week. So.
But that's what we thrive on. We thrive on bringing you to the edge, making you wait the week.
Yeah, and, you know, I get all that.
No, I understand. You know, a lot of people want to make sure it's going to finish.
So. Yeah, well, it's not even that I don't trust it to finish. It's just kind of, you know, I think, and actually in talking to the Patio Books guy and talking to Evo Terra about this, I mean, I think he's kind of backed that up. I think a lot of people, and of course I found that just going through this myself, everyone has a different listening style.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all. And you know, I'm sure you found that already, you know.
Oh, I certainly have. And, you know, for me personally, I listen to audio books. It sometimes isn't even consistent. There are some stories that I can listen to an episode a week and be and deal with the cliffhangers and waiting. There are others that I kind of have to binge on and will listen to five at a time and then five at a time and then five at a time. And there's some, as you said, I just have to wait until they're done.
Right.
It's just personal preference.
Yeah, but nobody cares about this, Paul.
No, I know they don't.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, I that was my rude way to segue. And of course, you know, I was just being funny. But my rude way to segue into back into Cybrosis, because that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about your book. I mean, so you said a near future cyberpunk, but tell us a little more. I mean, you know, it can assume that I'm not interested in listening and try to talk me into it.
Well, I would tell you that Cybrosis is Ghost in the Shell meets Minority Report meets James Bond. Our main character is a government agent who has the distinct honor, as it were, of being the first fully converted cyborg to survive and to exist. She had this conversion happen to her about 6 years prior to the start of the novel after a fairly traumatic event. It left her traumatized, not just physically, but emotionally as well. And the first chapter of Cybrosis picks up where she is leading a team on a mission that should be a relatively simple in, achieve the objective, get out, buy the book mission that goes terribly, terribly wrong. And is as she deals with the fallout from her superiors and starts looking into why that mission went so badly, she finds out that she's been raveled up in a conspiracy, at least one conspiracy, likely set out to destroy her, and quite possibly another one under that to hide the truth about the very technology that saves her life from her. And so Cybrosis is her story as she works her way through the case and tries to find out the truth before her own time runs out.
All right, so that definitely sounds like it's a lot of action.
Oh yeah, there's a fair amount of action. I mean, if you're looking for some James Bond explosions, you're going to find them in this book. But I tried to make this also a character piece as well. You know, I love the James Bond archetype, but he is an archetype, and throughout most of the movies, at least before the Daniel Craig era, he didn't really grow as a character, and that's part of the reason why we loved him. But he was always the same guy walking into the mission as he was walking out at the end when he got the girl. And that's not the way I wanted to go with Cyrus, who's my protagonist in this book. I wanted her to have a learning experience and to absolutely grow as a human being. And I hope I've achieved that. I'll let the listener decide that.
All right. And now you had mentioned Ghost in the Shell, and actually I know this just from, you know, we've played the promo here and I've talked to you about the book. Now I know that the roots in manga and anime, but what other things kind of influenced you?
As we said, the roots in the manga and the anime. Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie, I mean, say what you will about it, but the visual aspect of that movie.
I love that movie, actually. That's
impressive
for me.
I enjoyed it as well. But the visual aspect of the technology and the way machinery operated and the way that, you know, there's this one scene where he's running from the authorities and you've got all these cars. It's like 1,000 cars on the road and they're all moving at 90 miles an hour in perfect synchronicity up the side of a building, over and back down, because it's all computer controlled. That level of technology helped to define the rest of the world that Cyrus operates in. Cyrus is unique in that she is, for all intents and purposes, a prototype. She is not a, the cybernetic technology exists, but it's low level prosthetics. It's replacing a lost limb. It's replacing a lost finger or something like that. Whereas Cyrus is more full bodied. I would almost go as far as to say like a RoboCop, except she actually looks like a human being, character. So the Minority Report world helped to fill out the backdrop in which she operates. And then I tried to throw, as I said, some homage to the James Bond franchises in there, because that was, you know, once I got into them, that was the big action adventure staple in my movie diet. And those really were the big three. The character herself, she came from a sketch I wrote up for a role playing game that never took off. And the rest just kind of came as a result of all that followed before it.
Okay. So the villain sits in a big chair with a cat and...
He sits in a chair. He doesn't have a cat.
Okay.
But he's definitely more than just your typical Bond archetype. I mean, he certainly has his you know, arch nemesis, wahaha moments. But he's a little more involved in the story than just the guy who shows up in the last scene of the movie to be killed.
Right, right. I get that. and so when did you... Now, I guess what kind of is fascinating about this is... I first met you as Paul from Des Moines, and you were you were an active listener, an active contributor to a bunch of podcasts, not just Deadpan, but, you know, also to Winging It, and I think Slice of Sci-Fi as well.
Winging It, Slice, Merle Lafferty's I Should Be Writing, and many, many others at the time, yes.
Right. Right, and now I knew you as this cool guy who had nice things to say, but I didn't know that you were also had this writer thing going. Now, have you been writing your whole life, or is this your absolute first time, or have you done short stories and stuff, or talk about your... where you come from as a writer, and try to finish up, I guess, if you can, with when you started work on Cybrosis.
Okay. I have not always been a writer, number one. I always enjoyed telling stories. I always enjoyed listening to stories. And, you know, when I was in elementary school, we had the Young Authors Program, but that was something that, you know, everybody did, and everybody had their own little book put together, because you're in third and fourth grade, and we got to make everybody feel, you know, very happy. And I'm not criticizing the Young Authors Program, so don't get me wrong here, but it wasn't anything that I would consider serious.
You heard it here, Paul Herring. This is the Young Authors Program.
Gee, thanks, Jack.
Yeah. Paul is against education for our children.
Oh,
you heard it here first.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. This is not the Truth Seekers podcast. Insert Enterprise Warring Machinery here. Where I really got started with what became my writing as much of a career as I can call it, even though I really wouldn't put that term to it, would have to be with the role-playing. And it wasn't Dungeons & Dragons. It was, but it wasn't just. It was other games in other universes, some online freeform stuff. And I would get really into building these characters, and I'd have these, you know, 3-page personal histories for these characters about who they are, where they came from, what they're doing, why they're here. And inevitably, no matter what game I was playing and who I was playing or with whom I was playing, my character's story would never get told to my satisfaction. You know, I would give the administrator, you know, this whole slew of stuff, and he says, "Oh yeah, yeah, maybe we'll use it, maybe we'll see," and it would just fall by the wayside. And I said, "Well, to hell with that. These are my characters. I'm gonna make the, you know, if they're not gonna tell their stories, I'm gonna tell their stories."
Yeah, it's always disappointing when your grand hero epic is ended because, you know, you failed your saving throw and got stuck inside a gelatinous cube.
Well, that and just when they decide not even just to even entertain, even as a side bit, anything that you've thrown in. I mean, they didn't even, I mean, it was like they just said, okay, yeah, you wrote it. You know where your character's coming from. Congratulations. Welcome to my world now. It's like, okay, fine. Be that way.
Let's hear the tyranny of the dungeon master.
So. Damn you! But I ended up writing, as I said, Cyrus was a character for one of those stories, or for one of those role-playing games, excuse me.
Was that the R. Talsorian cyberpunk game, or was that a different game?
No, that was a completely different game. It was an online freeform that a friend of a friend had put together. It was just completely random and nothing that I don't think anybody would have heard of unless they were directly involved with it. And as I said, that game did not end to my satisfaction. So I sat down in the fall of, it would have had to have been the fall of 2002, and started writing what eventually became the first chapter of Cybrosis. That actually started, I was taking a short stories class in college at the time, and the professor asked us for a list of topics that we would be interested in writing about, and he gave us 3 options off the list, and we had to go write. I got my assignment back, and he had given me 3 circles around this one about this cyborg on a motorcycle chasing a bad guy. And he said, "That's what you're writing." I said, "Okay." So that turned into a short story, which ultimately became chapter 1. And then over the course of the next year, in and around my college studies, and then through the course of the following winter or the following summer break, I finished what ultimately became the first draft of Cybrosis. So I was done with it about August of 2003.
My deadpan has a first name, it's J-A-C-K. My deadpan has a second name, it's M-A-N-J-N. Oh, I love to listen every day, and if you ask me, well, I'll say. 'Cause Jack Mangan has a way with D-E-A-D-P-A-N. How's that?
All right, so now, actually, I believe this is the first time I've ever done this, although this should become a policy. At least you're familiar with deadpan, though, PC,
mm-hmm.
So you know this isn't too bizarre for you. I can imagine, you know, if I ever get, you know, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson on again, he'd probably be like, what? You want me to read nipples? What?
But, what, we're not calling them greasy cyborgs this week?
Sure, we can call them greasy cyborgs. It's a lot more fun than comments. So your first greasy cyborg, this is actually not the first of the week. This is your first to read.
Vandamon says, "If NS had too much to drink, would he? Okay, I gotta redo that. I'm sorry. Would he pious? Was that it? Would he pious?
Yeah, that's
okay.
I think it's would he be biased, but would he?
Oh, okay, I got you now. Okay,
I think that's the pun. I think.
All right, take 2.
But you know, it's better with It's probably funnier with context. Yeah, I'll trust Van, but you know that's the whole point of these.
No, I hear you. Okay, take 2. Vandamon says, "If NS had too much to drink, would he piest?" Yes.
Very nicely done. All right, next up.
Legion from Chandler says, "Interesting ASCII art ret. Not sure. I know what it's supposed to be though." I'm assuming he's talking to Retro on that?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's LeJon, but you know.
Oh, LeJon, excuse me.
Calling him Legion, I think that's just awesome. That's awesome.
Sorry. Legion!
I don't know. He might not.
I apologize to John. Okay, J.R. Murdoch says, basic rule of thumb when it comes to root beers. Buy it in a bottle, not in a can. Pour it into a glass just like regular beer. It'll taste much better. And, you know, I happen to fully agree with him on that one.
Yeah, and of course, well, what he didn't mention, which is, I guess, that was part of that conversation, is, you know, Barks is not root beer.
No.
You know, it doesn't count. No. It won't even do in a pinch. It's not root beer.
Reminds me of a favorite friend of the deadpan.
Yes, exactly. And that's actually what brought that up. That's gotcha. Where that was coming from.
All right. SEB says, OMG, Jesse James is a douche.
Yes, nice. I think you totally captured the essence there. All right, now the first of the week. This is going to be the first of the week. And hang on. Here's lots of keyboard clicks in the background. And the first of the week. Here you go.
Sorry, I had to read that for a second. CJ says, ooh, me. I haven't had firsties in a while. Smiley. Or frowny. Frowny.
No, that's silly.
Oh, silly. Right? Well, it came across Skype as a frowny.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
Let me show you what it came to me as.
All right.
I got to find it really quickly. Where is it? There it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's like the confused one with the crinkly mouth.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll redo that then to get it right.
No. That's fine. I think that it's better that way. Because from here I just see colon silly colon.
Yeah, my Mac sees colon S and it automatically turns it into the emoticon.
Oh right, yeah, and actually I think that is how you. Let me try that. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's what did it.
Yep, there it is.
And so it ate the illy part.
No, it's the frowny face illy colon.
Illy colon.
Illy colon.
Yeah, definitely not not something you want to have.
No. An illy colon is a bad, bad thing.
All right. Well, thanks for reading this.
Not a problem.
And now let's get back to your interview, Paul.
All right.
I'm sorry. I keep calling you Paul. I should be calling you PC.
It's all right. I don't mind it.
This is Brad P. from NJ and the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. Oh, sorry, that wasn't deadpan. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. That deadpan? Dang.
This has been around for a while, then.
This has been around for a while, and it's been around a little bit longer than I would have liked. I'm almost embarrassed to admit how many revisions it went through. But the only thing I say in my defense is that I had to prioritize and I had to put my college studies first. And there were entire semesters I took off from even looking at the project because I was just too busy with other things. Part of the reason why it took 4, 5, 6 years to get to a level where I was willing to podcast it, to say nothing about whether or not the technology was there.
Well, I mean, it does take years, you know, as an up and coming author just starting out. It does take years, mm-hmm. In my opinion, to get to a level where your stuff is readable. You know?
Oh yeah, and I look back at the first draft of the novel, and I just wince. I'm like, did I really do that? Really? Oh, you know.
Well, I've heard, you know, you hear that from authors who've been around for 40 years, and they'll tell you that the stuff they wrote 2 years ago makes them wince, you know.
So oh, yeah.
It's probably not something you ever get over, but I'm sure, yeah, it gets better. You know, I think it gets better, and I know what you mean about that. And that's actually encouragement to anyone who's just starting out and and getting kind of stopped in their tracks because their early stuff is crap. Because, yes, your early stuff is crap. I mean,
yeah, it
I
is.
Don't care, you know, the best author in the world. You know, no matter who you're talking about, your early stuff is garbage.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've mentioned it before. I'll probably mention it again. Mer Lafferty over at I Should Be Writing. One of her biggest mantras has always been, you are allowed to suck.
Right.
And it can't be, you know, it can't be Stephen King best-selling or J.K. Rowling best-selling on the first 5 words of the first draft of the first novel you've ever written. You've, you just got to sit down, write, and then go back and improve after you've gotten the story out, because then you've got a better idea of who your characters are, you've got a better idea of where your story's going, and you just have to let the work and the art evolve itself.
Well said, actually. Yes, very nice. We'll attribute that to you.
Thank you.
And now, so let's talk about where, I don't want to get too much, you know, so much is made of the freaking business and and all that stuff. So I don't want to go there, but I do, okay. I do want to know what's next. Are you, what type of writing are you going to do next? And where do you want to go with Cybrosis?
Well, what's next? I'm currently in the process of drafting what essentially is unfortunately turning into a trilogy length piece, set in a far future space opera like setting. Completely separate from the world of Cybrosis. And that's something that once I get it finished and edited at least once, I'm going to probably sit down and ultimately I'll want to podcast that as well. I'd like to see Cybrosis get published at some point in the future. I'm not going to say, well, within 2 years or within 18 months, I want to have a contract, because with the business, without getting into too much detail, with the business being what it is, for me to sit here and say that is one, completely audacious, and two, has no, it does not necessarily have any bearing on reality. If it happens, I'll be dancing for joy, but I'm not going to sit there and make that my lifelong dream quest and hold everything else up at the expense of that. But I've got that trilogy, which is in the drafting process, a couple of other ideas for other projects that I've been batting around in the back of my head. Podcasting Cybrosis has sparked interest to write a little bit more in that world. So I'm batting ideas for a potential follow-up to that. The writing machine is working. So there will be more from PC Herring after this one, I think.
That's cool. And that's good to know. And I do look forward to checking out Cybrosis. And now maybe you can, you and I were talking about this before, mm-hmm. before we started recording, but, maybe there can be some PC Herring viola.
there may very well be. When I'm not moonlighting in my day job or as a writer, I'm also a violist. I've been one for the past, I think it's been 18 years now. Wow. And I'm just starting to dabble in the idea of recording, of actually sitting down and recording my instrument into the computer and things like that. Once I get, I'm actually going to be moving myself in here in a few weeks. I've just bought my own place, and I'll be moving out of my apartment. But once I get over there and get the new studio set up, I'm going to be investing in some additional recording equipment, an instrumental mic, and maybe if I feel really bold, a actual pickup for an amp and a preamp for the instrument as well, and try to get a good recording quality out of the instrument and into the system. So if people need a violist or want to hear a viola that can maybe be tweaked into sounding like a violin, my links will probably be in the show notes, or you'll be able to find me over at my website. And I've worked with a few of the other podcast novelists out there already, and I dare say with some pretty good results. So
you mean has your viola made appearances?
Yes. My viola made an appearance in Chris Lester's Whispers in the Wood. I did a bit at the beginning of the first part of that piece, where the main character is experiencing the sound of the violin for the first time, and Chris asked me to play for him, and we did, and I did for him. I also have an upcoming viola piece in J. Daniel Sawyer's Down from 10. That one was a slightly different arrangement because of what he wanted, and I'm not quite sure what episode that's coming up when, but as we record, I'm told it should be within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, very nice.
And then I've also been recording for a couple of other projects for friends of mine and things like that, things that will never go onto pod, but, you know, it's still been recorded, so.
All right, well, then I said it before you then, that I would love to get either an original piece or, you know, your rendition of one of your favorite viola compositions out there.
Okay.
I'd love to have something here to play here on Deadpan.
All right. Well, if you wouldn't mind holding off until after I get moved, because this place is going to get torn up pretty quickly around here, I will be more than happy to accommodate that.
Right. Well, you know, that request comes with no deadline, with no timetable.
So, I appreciate that, Jack. You
know, well, you know, before we all pod fade and before. You know,
yeah, well, it's not going to be 2013, but it may not be till the fall. I mean.
Right. No, I'm just giving you crap. No, so right. That is a cool thing. And actually, there's one other interesting factoid about you that I'm aware of that people might find interesting. Actually, mm-hmm. I don't know if you still do this, so
okay.
We might just edit this out. But are you still...
am I aware of this interesting factoid is the big question.
I think so. Now, are you still in competition with Michael Phelps?
Oh, gee. No. Michael Phelps has always been way, way out of my league. I used to swim competitively, though that was back in my high school days. And these days, my swimming is not nearly as disciplined as it need be, but it's primarily just the way I go out to the gym and exercise. Everyone has their thing. Some people run, some people lift weights. I swim. And dissect every little move that everyone makes whenever I'm watching national level swimming.
But you know, that is interesting, and also I agree. You know, I've always thought that, you know, that everyone tells you how you need to work out. It's like, well, no, you need to find what the thing that you're going to keep going back and doing over and over. So yeah. I think that, and that's just kind of neat, and especially since you live in frozen north of Chicago. So it's interesting that you do swimming there. Yeah. Obviously, I know that they have indoor
pools. Well, the indoor pools, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like swimming in outdoor pools. The sun glare is difficult sometimes.
Okay. So this is something you still do, though. This is not something that's fallen by the wayside.
Unfortunately, it has fallen by the wayside, but once things settle down this summer, it's on my list of things to definitely get back into and do. I know it's easy to say, you know, next week, but just trying to get this podcast out, trying to get it wrapped up and done before I have to start going back to the move, before I have to start, you know, moving myself and then getting the new place set up and moved into. It's just a lot to try to get into a really disciplined regimen right now, and I need to wait until things just simmer down just a slight.
So I think the next time you're on the East Coast, you need to, because I know that's one of the other things you have in common with our friend T. Morris. So you mm-hmm. need to challenge him to a race, I think.
You know, T. Morris came out for DemiCon back in 2007. And he came out to Des Moines. He actually crashed at my place. And we went swimming over at one of the local pools. And we were there for about an hour, hour and a half. And we worked. And I showed him a few tips and tricks. And we had a ball. I love the man. But he has never been willing to get back in the water with me. He keeps saying he's, you know, it's busy. I'm not going to take time out of a con to go to a swimming pool. I'm like, okay, fine. I think he's just chicken shit, but that's just me.
Wow. You heard it here. Wow.
T. Morris, I'm calling you out.
Yeah, you know what? I got your back. T. Morris is a punk, man. He won't get in the pool with you. He ain't got nothing. He got no game.
God damn, he's going to tackle me into the pool at Balticon. I know it.
Yeah, that's true. Now, and actually, let's finish out with that. Now, you're let's do some last-minute pimping here. So
sure.
Give me all the URLs and all the, you know, pimp whatever you want. Even, you know, your appearances in other people's podcasts, but also Balticon. You're going to be – so people on the East Coast who should go – who, if you can get to Balticon, I mean, I've only been the 1 year, but it was a really, really fun. You know, Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway just do a wonderful, I know it's not their con, but they just do a wonderful, wonderful job. And it's a good bunch of people that go.
Yeah, the Balticon and, crew. The Balticon crew put on a fantastic. Yeah, I am PC Herring. My website right now is www.cybrosisnovel.com. That is cybrosisnovel.com. You can find me on Twitter and Skype as PC Herring, and that's pretty much the best ways to get in touch with me. There are a couple of other ways that are specific to the novel and specific to other things, but you can find those over at the website if you're interested. Cybrosis is running strong with so far 14 weekly releases Friday morning. Another 6 are tentatively scheduled to wrap us out to the novel. I've got guest appearances as a violist, both, as I said, on Metamore City, as well as J. Daniel Sawyer's Down from 10. I think there may be another project that's in the pipe, but I haven't gotten details on it, and I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it yet, so I'll apologize for teasing that. I will be at Baltimore. Say again?
So that's exciting, though.
Yes, that is very exciting. I'm really looking forward to that one coming through, but unfortunately, I am at the mercy of other people's schedules, so I'm not able to discuss it quite yet because I don't quite know what's going on with it at the moment. There's that, and then of course I will be at Balticon 2010 this Memorial Day weekend in Baltimore, Maryland. Their website, I believe, is balticon.org. Is that right, Jack?
I think so.
Okay.
But yeah, it's google.com. That's where you find Balticon.
google.com, search for Balticon. Exactly.
Yeah.
Balticon promises to be a lot of fun this year. I'll be I'm not an official guest of the convention, and I don't think it's going to happen this year. I got a little late to that, but I'm working a couple of angles, and we're going to see if there's a way we can finagle a. This hasn't been announced yet, so this is a Deadpan exclusive at the moment. I haven't announced it on my feed yet. things are very tentative right now, very up in the air. But we are looking at possibly doing some kind of unofficial Cybrosis exit interview / wrap party. Details forthcoming from over at CybrosisNowAll.com. And Jack, if you want me to email you with details or voicemail and details as they become available, I'll be happy to do that too.
Sure. Yeah. Good. Yeah. If you can voicemail them in, and then we'll run them on Deadpan, future Deadpan. And actually, that's a good idea, because one last strong way to sell the Patio book, even though it's free, one way to sell the Patio book is the star reader of the book will be in attendance at Balticon, right?
Heather Welliver, who voices Cyrus, has been amazing. She's been fantastic. Let me stop right there. I have no complaints about any of the voice cast, whether they were full characters for the entire book or just one or two line guards that got their butts kicked by Heather's character, Jack.
That
Jack Manga guy. Oh, man. But I just finished mixing the next to last episode of the novel. And Heather and Rich Siegfried, who carried the majority of that chapter, were unbelievable. they blew me away. so it's going to be one hell of a party when we come down there, because I have about I owe my voice cast about 1,000 favors each right now. I cannot speak any more highly of them. They were absolutely fantastic.
Right. Well, of course, me as the security guard, that was an inspired choice. But really, in all seriousness, Heather and Rich are inspired choices. They're both just very, very talented readers.
I choose the people who I ask to play the characters based on whose voice I'm hearing with the character. Mm-hmm. And please don't take this personally, Jack. I honestly didn't hear your voice in any of my main male characters this time around. Yeah, I know. I'm such a bad, bad person. Next time with the trilogy, maybe that'll change. And I'm thinking that I actually may hear your voice with one of the characters. So, we'll see what happens.
I appreciate you saying that, but I get that. And again, like I said, Heather and Rich are fantastic, fantastic people and fantastic choices.
Yeah, it's been a blast working with them and cutting them together and making this thing come to life. Because wow, for as familiar as I am with my own writing and my own project, they still manage to blow me away, surprise the hell out of me almost every single time I listen to them.
Well, that's great. And I look forward to listening. I hope it gets huger and huger.
Oh, I hope it does too, and I hope you enjoy it, Jack.
All right, and thanks for coming on Deadpan.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
All right. And scene.
Hey, everyone. This is Dan Charette, author of Lilith's Love and host of the Out of the Coffin podcast and you are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. How's that? Sweet? Laters.
Wow, don't make Dan Shred angry. You wouldn't like him when he was angry. All right, wish me luck. It's for, you know, there really is no nobler cause. I'm glad Paul from, PC Herring could be here this week. And next week, regular Deadpan. Remember, go out and help to choose the songs that will represent each of the NHL playoff teams and make your own, swear your own allegiance to one of the 16 playoff teams. Or one or more of the 16 playoff teams. You know, your local boys or whatever. Going to play another song from Dan and CJ's backyard. And I'm not coming back after the music. But I will come back next week. Yeah, next week. Barring comets or asteroids or anything, you know, anything major. I will come back next week with Deadpan number 162. Thank you all for being awesome. I hope we can chat some more on the comments page. Deadpan is indeed the motherfucking way. Good night, Moon.
The sea brought us pain, misery. He killed our tribes, he killed our creed. He took our game for his own need. We fought him hard, we fought him well out on the plains. We gave him hell when he came. Too much for Creel, will we ever be set free? Galloping hard on the plain, chasing the Redskins back to their holes, fighting them at their own game. Murder for freedom, a stab in the back, women and children, cowards attack.
Lee on the motherfucking bass. Wow.